So we're talking with Rich Schrader from NRDC, one of the groups testifying today at the hearing about divestment from fossil fuels. Rich, what's NRDC's perspective on this issue?
Well, our view is that in terms of divestment of the fossil fuel industry, it makes perfect sense for two reasons. One is environmentally, and in terms of climate change, it's the fossil fuel industry that's wholly responsible for the really radical shifts we've seen in terms of just extreme weather, hurricanes, flooding, polar ice melts. They may not be alone, but they're responsible far more than any other stakeholder, any other economic player. It's the burning of fossil fuels that create greenhouse gas emissions, and that's putting us and the planet into a very, very big fix. Secondly, it's a prudent way to protect investors. If we do the right thing and the smart thing, essentially to protect the planet, and begin to build a sustainable future by investing in a renewable future, renewable energy, everything from wind and solar, energy efficiency, those fossil fuel assets will stay in the ground, become stranded, and won't be valuable. So people who are investing in them now, today, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, those assets will be very diminished. So it makes sense from that perspective as well.
Now, the state controller has been talking over the years about he thinks it would be more impactful to keep investments in these companies so that he can engage in shareholder advocacy and convince, the Exxons and the Shells of the world to be more environmentally friendly when it comes to burning fossil fuels. Do you think that's a good approach?
I don't. I think that engagement with corporations oftentimes is useful. I mean, certainly even with utilities who are no friends of environmental law generally, you can have a discussion about electric vehicles, discussion about energy efficiency, a discussion at least about the future in terms of not being solely dependent on fossil fuels. The fossil fuel industry as a business model, its core business model, is the extraction and burning of fossil fuels and the creation of ever more greenhouse gas emissions. Secondly, look at what they do. Look at their behavior. The fossil fuel industry is responsible for attacks on some of the bedrock environmental law nationally, regionally, and in New York State. They've attacked the Endangered Species Act. They want to drill because they want to drill anywhere they can. They want to drill where struggling endangered species are just trying to survive. They've attacked the Clean Water Rule, which protects the drinking water of 100 million Americans. They want to attack that and degrade the standards of it. That's the fossil fuel industry. Just yesterday, the governor signed into law, with leadership from legislation and environmental groups, a bill that would prohibit offshore oil and gas drilling, which would have been destructive, wholly destructive, of the tourist industry in Montauk and, you know, our coastlines. This is what the fossil fuel industry does because this is what they're driven to do by their business model. So I think that this makes sense across the board to divest from them. There are some industries you can't engage in. The tobacco industry was never going to change its business plan from selling an addictive, deadly product to young consumers. That's what they did. That's what they wanted to do. That's how they kept making money. The fossil fuel industry is continually going to destroy the planet and create worse and worse climate problems, climate change issues.
Thank you, Rich Schrader. We hear next from Senator Liz Krueger, the chief sponsor of the divestment bill, and she has a series of questions for Anastasia Tituchuk, who is the interim chief investment officer for the New York State Comptroller's Office, asking how the comptroller has responded to prior reports that he claimed he was going to use to decide what to do about the issue of divestment, starting with the Mercer report from several years ago.
And in the report, it says that if we meet the 2-degree goal, the value of fossil fuel stocks will plummet in the next decade. And if we don't meet the 2-degree centigrade goal, the value of all stocks will plummet. So how do you justify holding on to stocks that will either lose significant value or drive the loss of significant value across the rest of your portfolio, given that the research is pretty clear that we are walking ourselves into stranded asset situations, and we're already seeing a decrease in the value of these stocks and a real risk from these companies?
So we did reference the Mercer report, and we're continuing to look at the issue of climate change because that issue is dynamic. And the markets move, and the financial analysis also moves, as it's not static. As you mentioned in your reference right now, The Mercer report also says that if we don't address the issues of climate change, it's a much bigger issue for the entire portfolio, which is why, again, we are vehemently opposed to focusing on just the one factor of fossil fuel reserves as the sole metric in addressing climate risk in the portfolio. In fact, as I've already described, just that one metric narrowly focuses on a group of stocks and does not address the true risk in our portfolio. We have that risk across the portfolio. Again, you know, there are some easily understood parts of the portfolio that you could see would be affected by climate change. Of course, if we own real estate or infrastructure and suddenly it gets flooded or you have hurricanes and other events, of course it's a concern. So just that one metric does very little to address the climate risk. In fact, I would argue it does nothing, and it does increase the riskiness of the fund.
So I think, I'll speak for all of us here, we also agree we have a lot of work to do on climate changes and carbon issues, and that it's more than just divesting from stocks. But we think that is an important tool in the arsenal. And when I said in the beginning, that Senator DiNapoli, hello, Controller DiNapoli and I and people who support Felix and my bill are in a different place on this bill, we're really not in a different place on the assignment. And just to highlight that, taking again, you referenced the decarbonization panel and their findings, and there will be people testifying from that later. The decarbonization panel, in talking about unsustainable investments, pretty much use the same definition as the CU200 companies that our bill would say you need to divest from. So the report says, in the pursuit of 100% sustainable assets, divestment of companies not consistent with the 2-degree future is baked in. So if the fund, your fund, follows the recommendations of the decarbonization panel, you'd effectively be divesting by 2030. But Felix and my bill calls for doing so within 5 years of the passage of the law, so basically by 2025. So I actually think we're having an argument about whether there's a 5-year timeline to divest from these companies or a 10-year timeline. Would you agree?
No, I actually disagree. The panel specifically does not recommend divestment. Now, divestment could be a tool or a result of some of the actions, but in fact, our plan that we're developing right now would include engagement because, again, as I referenced in my prepared remarks, is if you simply divest from companies, you might completely miss the action that you're trying to accomplish. So as an example, and I believe in the remarks that you received, we cite this example, there are energy companies like Equinor that we would miss out on even though they're now heavily investing in the wind technology. So a divestment would preclude us from owning companies that then change and become good actors.
Okay, I would disagree. Because if you divest and somebody becomes a good actor, they fall off the CU200 list and you could reinvest in them when they met that standard. There's nothing that says you couldn't invest in them if they were no longer on this list. So if Equinor, sorry, I just want to get it right, has such a high percentage of their investments in fossil fuels, that despite the fact that they are in wind energy, and we're glad they are, it still doesn't shift the ultimate formula for that company. Well, if they chose to go more into wind and solar and sustainable and had less of their investments in fossil fuel, they could fall off the master list, and the state of New York, under a divestment model, could choose to reinvest in them.
This is Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Radio Network with the first part of our April 30th coverage of the New York State legislative hearing on divestment of the state pension funds from fossil fuels.